Hello and welcome to Diary of a Common Man. This is episode 19. My name is Salim Lalani and thank you for joining me once again. Last week we discussed fear, what is fear and how to manage it. This week we will conclude the management of fear and look at a few situations where we should all use a little bit of the divine gift of intellect. But before that, some housekeeping. We have made progress with establishing a trust and a non-profit organization. Hopefully, we should have these structures operating within a couple of weeks. So, we will keep you posted. Unfortunately, we still haven't heard from any event organizers or media consultants. So, please get in touch with me if you are there. On a positive note, we now have found one more lawyer, this time in America, so thank you very much, Mr. XYZ. I have received a call from Pakistan this time around, and this call is very similar to the Indian phone call regarding the property scam that we discussed last week. The caller has advised that hundreds of millions of rupees are laundered within Pakistan, and I'm pretty sure this money laundering must be working across the world. But let's look at how the Pakistani system works. Step 1, truckloads of cash is collected from Jamaat Khanas from across Pakistan. This cash is brought to Karachi, in particular II Chundrigarh Road. This location is where the cash is offloaded. Now, step 2. Say there is a billion rupees that has arrived from across Pakistan, including Karachi, of course. What happens is then the system picks 10 ultra-rich Aga Khani businessmen. 100 million rupees is delivered to each murid, cash. Step 3. In return for the cash, the business of the murid issues a check in favor of Aga Khan Foundation as a donation. Now, in this situation, let's look at who the winners and the losers are. The winner is Aga Khan because he receives money free of any tax. Then he is the beneficiary of the cash that has traveled illegally, but still he hasn't done anything wrong because he has received a donation. Although the beneficiary is Aga Khan, it is the murid that has committed the tax fraud. But remember, the murid is also a businessman. He doesn't do anything for nothing. So, he will now claim a tax deduction for the donation he made via his business. Now, this murid, not only that, he has all the five fingers in the pie. He participates in the fraud, but he will also receive plenty of blessings from Aga Khan for this fraud and, of course, the tax deduction. So, he is laughing all the way. Pakistani public is the only loser. If this is true, between Aga Khan and the murid, they will make complete fool of the people of Pakistan. They will make these poor people in Pakistan, will make rich Aga Khani people richer, and God, the Aga Khan, make even more richer. The same caller has informed me that Aga Khani Muris don't need to pay Zakat in Pakistan because they pay Dasol. It is obvious that the Pakistani government is unaware of what Dasol is. They think Dasol is Zakat. Now, in case they are not aware of what Dasol is and someone from within the Pakistani government machinery is listening to me right now, Dasond is not for the poor people as per the Quran. Dasond is not for the poor people. It is a private property of Aga Khan, which he can spend on jets, horses, yachts, real estate across the world, private islands, and women too. So if anybody would like to know more about how Dasond works and how Zakat works from within Pakistani government machinery, please give me a call or send me an email, and I'm more than happy to explain the difference between the two. As promised last week, I will reiterate my response to popular questions every week. My religion, people want to know that after I have left Aga Khani system, what is my new religion? My response is exactly the same as last week. I follow no religion or any faith-based system. Now, in case you are confused about what is a faith-based system, do let me know and I'm happy to explain. Did Salim design this whole campaign to make money? To put your mind to rest, I will not own this money except for my fees, which the trustees will decide. I will not be the trustee of or the member of the fund or the trust. I will not be receiving the money in my bank account. Trustees will operate the trust and they will receive the donations and they will report to the American government as per the taxation laws. My objective is to make sure Aga Khan discontinues the use of all material that portrays him as God. And this material could be ginans, vases, rituals, ceremonies, prayers, religious education curriculum, the whole lot. My objective is to make sure Aga Khan discontinues the use of all material and strategies that explicitly or implicitly force people into paying money to him. My objective is to make sure that Aga Khan discontinues all cash financial transactions except for collecting the funds to keep the Jamaat Khana going. Let us now proceed to episode 19. Last week we discussed two strategies to manage fear: meditation and understanding that life is an illusion. This week we will talk about one more strategy, and that is consciousness. One of the reasons why we fear and worry is because we live in dark. So we stumble because we can't see what is in front of us. We stumble at every other step. This possibility of stumbling creates fear. In other words, we live unconsciously. Living without God's presence is actually living unconsciously. God is light. When you walk without a light, you are going to stumble. So let's take an example. Imagine a little child who is walking with his mother in a crowded shopping center. Mother stops at a shop to do a 10-second window shopping, and the child, unaware, just walks away and gets lost in the crowd. Soon he realizes that he has lost his mother. He experiences this most horrible feeling that you cannot describe. Frantically, he is looking for his mother but cannot find her. With every passing second, fear of losing her grows inside him. He cries and cries and cries, but he does not get the mother back. He is fearful, he is distraught. But soon, someone reunites the mother and the child. Now, I want you to imagine the emotions of the mother and the child when they are reunited. It cannot be described, but I'm pretty sure you have some idea. Now, in reality, you are the lost child, and the mother is the creator and the divine. You have separated, you have walked away from your mother. You will now live in fear, just like the child did for a few seconds. Yeah, you will live your life in fear. Now we understand what is fear, right? So what do we do? It is about a choice. What we do is about a choice. Do you want to stay away from your mother and be fearful until you die? Or do you want to find her? What do you want to do? Do you want to find her and find peace, happiness, bliss? Or do you want to stay away from her and be fearful all your life? Choice is yours. Now, in case you want to be reunited with your mother, you will need to firstly realize that your mother never separated from you. You walked away. You walked away. She still wants to connect with you, but you have not given her the chance to connect with you. You have disconnected the channel of communication. Now you are separated. So, how do we reconnect? The only way to reconnect is to become conscious. What is consciousness? This is not conscience. Conscience we discussed last week. Conscience is a navigation tool which the divine has installed in each and every human being. Ability to know what is right and what is wrong. That is conscience. This is conscious. Conscious is awareness. You are aware. You are aware of yourself and become thought free. Even for few seconds, if there are no thoughts generated in your system, you are conscious. You have become aware of only yourself. And it is in yourself that the higher self resides. So, to get to the higher self, you will first have to connect with yourself. And the process of connecting with yourself is called consciousness. And it is this state of consciousness that we can connect with the divine, the mother. When you meditate, there are no thoughts and there is no physical action. That is meditation, isn't it? Meditation is a state where there is no physical action. There is no mental action either, no thoughts. You are just sitting there and all the attention is drawn towards you rather than the world, rather than to the senses. This state is consciousness. You are only breathing in and you are breathing out. And you are watching that breath. You are breathing in and you are breathing out. And you are watching it. Breath is the pool or the bridge that connects your physical body to your divine body. That is, breath is that important. So we'll talk about this breath in our next series next year, and we'll discuss this topic, the consciousness, meditation, religion, spirituality, that kind of stuff next year. But at this point in time, I want you to become fearless right now. And I want you to start becoming conscious right now. And I want you to start connecting with the divine right now, so that you have the strength and the courage to do the right thing. Divine will come. Fear will go. Not only will the fear go, but it will be replaced by peace, ecstasy, bliss, euphoria in this life, not in heaven. You will bring heaven here. Now remember one thing. Let's understand the practicality of the way this works. Don't expect the divine to come and hug you. He may not. He may not give you a hug, but he may, depending on your situation, depending on how good the connection you have established, he may decide to show you a little glimpse. Little glimpse, but do not underestimate that little glimpse. It is capable of completely transforming you. Now you will say, oh, this is easy. I will close my eyes, I'll watch my breath, and God will come. Yes, you are right. Eventually he will come. He will not have a choice. But only if you are clean. You have made effort to clean your thoughts, to clean your physical body, to clean your intentions, and to clean your actions. This is called karma. In Islamic language, you may want to call something else. Okay, amal. Amal is karma, action. So what do I mean? Let's take an example. During the day, I have spoken ill about people. I have cheated people. I have hurt people. I then go home and meditate. Salim said, go home and meditate. Remember? Close your eyes. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. And watch your breath. That's what Salim said. Or he says, go to Jamaat Khana or mosque or temple and say, oh God, forgive me. And God will come. No. God will not come. That I can tell you right now. And with confidence, I can tell you God will not come. Does not matter how many tasbihs you take out. Does not matter how many prayers you take out. God will not come to a garbage bin because he is pure. He is nothing but purity. You will have to clean yourself. If you want to see a little bit of him. Now, just going to Jamaat Khana, mosque, temple, this and that would have connected you to God. But it doesn't work like that. For you to connect with God, you will at least have to make an effort to become clean. Yeah? You say, I'm going to continue to do the wrong thing. And then I want to connect with God. It does not work like that. And this is, I'm not speaking highly philosophical things. I am just talking common sense. God will not come. So don't fool yourself. I'd rather you don't go to your temple or your mosque or your Jamaat Khana or whatever. Don't go. Just try and fix yourself first. Or at least attempt to fix yourself. Yeah. God will see that. He will give you credit for that. So don't be hopeless. Have hope that, look, this is difficult, but I'm going to start today. At least one little step at a time. I will go in that direction. Even if that happens, God will find a way to connect. But you are saying that I will continue the way I am continuing. I choose to do the wrong thing. And then I want to go to Jamaat Khana and the temple and the mosque and ask for forgiveness and God will forgive me. Simple as that. It doesn't work like that. So, coming back to consciousness. You will have to become conscious whilst you are meditating and you will have to improve your karma, your amal, your conscience has to be healthier. But like anything, look, it's difficult. Like anything, practice, intention will reunite you with the divine. So practice meditation, become conscious, change your actions, change your speech, change your thoughts. That is the way to become fearless. In earlier episodes, we discussed that a significant Aga Khani population is now aware that they are being taken for a ride. They know it. A significant population of Aga Khanis know. How can you not know in this information age? How can you not know? They know. And they don't want to be fooled anymore. They are sick and tired of being fooled, but they cannot leave. They want to leave, but they cannot leave. They are now in a prison. Prison of fear. Fear of what? Of people and particularly people in the Jamaat Khana. This is a prison. You cannot escape. There are other people who don't want to escape. For them, this social club has become more important than anything else. And they will pretend to pray, they will pretend to be very religious. But the fact of the matter is that they are not only fooling themselves, they are fooling the divine. And divine will not forgive them for this. You cannot fool with the divine. You can fool with yourself. You can't fool with divine. So stop doing it. Admit that you are a socializer. That's nothing wrong with that. Socializing is a good thing. But don't fool yourself that you are praying, you are a good spiritual kind of a person. If you are, congratulations, well done. But if you are not, you know it. You know the reason why you've come to Jamaat Khana. You know it, right? So, stop fooling yourself because you will not get anywhere. Nature has its own way of dealing with people like you and me. It will find a way to deal with you. Don't fool with it. Anyway, coming back to these people who want to leave, but they can't. They fear. I can't leave Agha Khani system because I want to belong. And I ask them, what do you want to belong to? And they say, I want to belong to my community. And I ask them, why do you want to belong to your community? They say to me, there is safety in numbers. That reminds me that I was watching a documentary on wild beast the other day. I'm a big animal lover. The largest animal migration that happens in the world is in Africa. Wild beast migration. They migrate once in a year or so in search of food and water in different parts of Africa. And this massive herd of wild beasts, you're talking hundreds of thousands of wild beasts, everyone sticking to each other. It's a herd. You would have thought there would be safety because they are big in numbers, correct? No. The herd was traveling and then came a lion and he picked on this baby wild beast, tore the baby apart and started eating it. Who came to the rescue? No one. They all ran. And you want to belong to a herd because you think there is safety in numbers. If you really think like that, think again. Yes, they will come and cry over your shoulder and give you a shoulder to cry over, but only for a few minutes. Yes, they will entertain you, but only for a while. Yes, they will give you company, but only for a while. No sooner they find somebody better, they'll go. Don't be surprised. Even those people who you thought were close to you will find excuses when they find better company. Do you want proof? Go and visit a nursing home and talk to the old people and frail people there. They are dying to talk to their children. Leave alone children, they are dying to talk to anyone. So the sooner you befriend yourself, the better. If friends are around you, if people are around you, well and good, enjoy. But if they are not, you must be able to enjoy your own company. This is important, particularly for those people like me who are nearing retirement. Start practicing right now. Living alone. Spending time alone, even for a small time, will not only help you right now, it will help you in your old age, in case you are no longer a good company for your children, for your friends, in case. And eventually, this practice of staying alone and enjoying your own company will help you depart from this world as well. So start practicing staying alone for few minutes a day, few hours a day, see what happens, befriend yourself, get to know yourself. And once you get to know yourself, as I said earlier, that you will know the higher self as well. Now, I can't leave Aga Khani system because what will people say? What will people say? Okay, who is people? You, your friends, your relatives, and members of your community. These are the people. And don't forget, you are also a part of this entity that you call people. You are basically scaring other people, and other people are scaring you. Don't forget that. So if you say that, what will people say? That is actually saying, what will I say? What will people say if I do this or if I do that? If I leave Jamaat Khana, oh my God, he is a beiman, not a good person. Let me put your mind to rest. If you think they think about you, don't fool yourself. More than likely, they don't think about you as much as you think. They have a lot of other things. Yes, they will make you a subject of gossip, but only for a while. Okay, you are not that important. They will talk about you in dinner parties and over a barbecue party, whatever it is. Okay, but eventually, even that will be forgotten. And when they find somebody else to talk about, they will definitely forget about you. Okay, you have become old news. We want constant, brand new, fresh gossip. Talking about you all the time. Are you a Princess Diana? Or are you President Trump? Who are you? They want somebody else to talk about. So don't be under that impression that, oh my God, what will they say? They will not say much. And even if they say, it will only be gossip, fruitless, futile gossip, damaging gossip to themselves. Yeah, they'll make more harm to themselves than they make to you. I can guarantee you that much. In particular, if your intentions are good, if you have done what your conscience told you to do, they are the ones who are digging their own grave, not you. So become powerful and do what is right. You have chosen to do the wrong instead of the right because you are worried about the people. Now, here is a problem. You have made wrong choices. I'm telling you because you are the people. Okay? You have made wrong choices for selfish purposes. And you also want to be happy. It doesn't work that way. You will live fearfully under a cloud of insecurity everywhere you go. So don't worry about what people say. Have the courage to make the right choice. Follow the divine navigation tool called conscience. Once you do that, you will stand tall. You will stand tall. Your fear will go. You will become brave. You will become courageous. How many times have you prayed for courage in your place of worship? All your life? How much courageous did you become? I see cowards everywhere I go. And that includes me. The courage that I have experienced is only recent. All my life. To be precise, 58 years of my life, I have been a coward. But I forgot that I was a lion and I thought I was a mouse. Now you have a choice. It took me 58 years and I don't want you to spend one more second after listening to this video. After listening to this video, I want you to determine that I will live like a lion and I will die like a lion. Make that choice that you will live like a lion and you will not be intimidated by people. you will not be intimidated by your society. You will not be intimidated by the brainwashing and the indoctrination happening in your place of worship. Make me that promise. Okay. Can't leave Aga Khani system because I want people to pray over my dead body. Why? Why do you want people to pray over your dead body? Okay, I know. You want to go to heaven, correct? Even in death, you want the best for yourself, correct? Good. All right, nothing wrong with that. So, you think the way to get to heaven is make people pray over your dead body. So, if people will pray over your dead body, you go to heaven, right? So, in other words, you are telling me that it's okay to gossip about people, it's okay to cheat people, it's okay to loot people, it's okay to hurt people, and then don't realize it, and then don't apologize, and then you die, and once you are dead, people will gather and they will pray over the dead body, and guess what, you are gone to heaven, and whoever is up there will forgive you your sins. Yeah? Did I get you right? Or did I get you wrong? So let me say again. All your life you've done the bad things. Sometimes good things too. Yeah? You've done all the wrong things in your life. You haven't apologized before you die. And then you basically die one day. People gather over your dead body and they pray. And whoever is up there, he says, okay, let's forgive this guy. Let him go to heaven. Correct? Did I get you right? That would be injustice. And Allah, God, Bhagwan, whoever it is not unjust. Listen to me. Allah is not unjust. It's like someone borrowed and stole my life savings. Yeah? And they never returned it. He dies. I have suffered all my life because of his stealing my money. And he has died. And people gather over his dead body and pray. And Allah forgives him. That is injustice. If that was the case, why wouldn't people go and commit all the sins? They know. They can commit all the sins in the world, murder people, loot people, whatever they want to do, because they know people are going to gather over the body and Allah will forgive. Simple. So if you think God is just, don't worry about people praying over your dead body. That is futile. It's not going to work. It cannot work. It is common sense. Don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. The only thing that can send you to heaven or hell is your own actions, your own thoughts, and your own speech. If you have done wrong, that is okay. But you must realize it and you must apologize before you are alive. And if you don't even want to do that and you want to die and you want to be forgiven, it doesn't work like that. Apologize and don't repeat. That is the way to go to heaven. I don't know if there is heaven up in the sky or not. I'm talking about the heaven here in this life. No one, I want to repeat this. I know in this episode I have repeated so many things and I've done it intentionally and I will keep repeating. No one can send you to heaven, not people, not cult leaders, not religious leaders, not even God. Not even God. He cannot. Because if he did, he would be unjust. And this is why he gave you a tool called conscience. Use it. If you say that I will not use the gift given by God, he gave you conscience, he gave you intelligence. He gave you those divine gifts to make the right choice. Now you are saying, I will not listen to God, but I want him to forgive me. No.
It doesn't work like that.
Now, I can't leave Aga Khani system because no one will marry my children within the community. Let's understand. You are conservative. Go and look yourself in the mirror. You are looking at someone who is a conservative because you want your children to marry an Aga Khani. But your children are liberal. They don't mind marrying anyone irrespective of caste, color, religion, and nowadays even a same-sex partner. You, the person looking in the mirror, is living in dark ages. Wake up. Stop worrying about people. Your children are free of this nonsense that you have in your head. Let go of the insecurity and become free like your children are. Learn from your children and let people say what they want to say. Let me tell you a story. A farmer had a donkey which was of no use to him anymore, so he decided to take the donkey to the market to sell him. His 18-year-old son wanted to come along to the market. Father, son and the donkey began their journey to the market. They had only walked a few hundred meters when a few people passed. And father and the son, they heard them commenting. They said, "What stupid people. They have a donkey and they're walking on foot." So the son said to the father, "Father, why don't you hop on the donkey?" So the father is about at least 100 kilos or more. So he hops on the donkey. Now the son is walking, father is riding the donkey. A few meters down the track, they passed a few more people. And those people also made a comment, a passing comment. "What stupid people. They have a donkey and the son is still walking on the foot." So the son, who was also quite heavy like his father, also hopped on the donkey. No sooner he hopped on the donkey's back broke and he died. So do what you think is right. Do not give the people to dictate your actions. Otherwise, you will end up being very sorry. So go with your conscience. As I said before, live like a lion. And if you want to live like a mouse, choice is yours. That's all we have for this week. Next week, we will talk about finance, the money, the financial system within Aga Khan Imamat. This is my favorite topic and this is the climax of this series. And this topic will need multiple episodes. Many people say to me, "Salim, you have pointed out all the negatives about Aga Khan, but you have ignored the good he does for humanity. And he's respected all over the world for that, Salim. Can't you see that?" Yes, I can see that. Next week, we will deal with this complaint. We will begin lifting the curtain over the humanitarian work. We will understand who pays for this charity. Is it Aga Khan or is it someone else? We will go inside Aga Khan Development Network, the charitable network, to find out. Next week, we will also begin lifting the curtain over the holy money. How much money does Aga Khan or his imamat receive from his murids? How is it transported out of Jamaat Khana? How does it cross international borders, possibly illegally, and where does it end up? We will also talk about Aga Khan's private enterprise, his investments in shell companies, and there's a lot to talk about. So until next week, take care of yourself. Goodbye.